Welcome back to Castle Country Focus. Joining us in the studio today, we have a couple of guests. We have Greg Cook, CEO of Castleview Hospital, and he's also brought along Dr. Travis Engar to talk a little bit about COVID-19 and the coronavirus here in the Castle Country. First off, guys, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to join us. It's a pleasure to get to sit down and speak with you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Cook, let's start with you again, CEO of Castleview Hospital. You and I were going over a couple of notes off of the cuff, and basically it revolved around hospital preparedness. I'm sure that's been a very big emphasis for you over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's always a concern. We want to make sure that the community understands what the hospital is doing. And the important thing to understand is that the hospital is very prepared. These are things that we prepare for, you know, whether it's a mine disaster or a mass shooting or something of this nature, you know, where you've got potentially many, many people being infected with a virus. So we do mock drills all the time, and we're prepared. We've actually implemented our emergency management team, and something we've been talking about for weeks, something that we plan for, and we've got a plan in place, and we can talk about some of the details of that and how that impacts the hospital. But the hospital's prepared. We're ready to handle any influx of patients that we get.
Well, let's talk about that. What's the process? And I like how you mentioned it was kind of a work in progress. It wasn't something that you guys had to throw together all at once, right? You guys were anticipating at least something to this extent is what it sounds like.
Yeah, perfect. This isn't something that caught us off guard. Mm-hmm. We've been watching this for quite some time. Obviously, it's had a lot of media attention, you know, around the globe. And so we've been watching. We've been looking at supply demand and supply availability. And so for weeks, we've been kind of preparing and planning. Last week on Friday, we actually decided it was time to implement our emergency management plan, and that was not done out of fear. Again, we treat these patients every day, or patients with viral symptoms every day. So we did this just out of an abundance of caution, just to make sure that, you know, we've got hospital resources ready and available, we've got staffing ready and available, and have a plan so that if we do get a big influx of patients, we're here to treat those patients, as well as the patients that we get on a routine basis.
Is it been a pretty easy transition?
Yeah, easy transition, but very disruptive, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that we don't deal with every day as far as an emergency, a real emergency situation. We plan for it all the time, but when it's time to implement those things, changes patient flows, it changes employee, staffing models and different things. So very disruptive from a hospital perspective, but nothing that we don't plan for. Right now, we're on a visitor restriction policy, so just because of the nature of everything going on right now, and to protect our community and the employees, and Dr. Engar will talk about flattening the curve a little bit, we have implemented a no visitation policy. So we've restricted visitors from the hospital, with the exception of OB patients, pediatric patients, or patients with end of life care. And so, you know, that's something that is obviously a big disruption. And we do have something that we've started just recently with virtual visitation. So we've got iPads, tablets that we can provide to patients and allow family members to dial in and actually see their, you know, see the family member or patient. And that will help, I think, ease some of that anxiety of a no visitor policy. We're trying to think outside the box and accommodate patients and visitors as much as we can.
Sure, sure. Now, as a potential patient, what should I know? Above all, as a potential patient at Castleview Hospital, what would you like them to know?
Well, if you're having complications of a viral infection or something, we will treat you. These are, again, things that we deal with every day, and Dr. Engar can speak a little more to the clinical aspects of that. But we have isolation rooms available. We have regular hospital beds available, and if we get a big influx of patients, we are prepared to expand the footprint of the hospital. You know, we've got unused beds that we can tap into. We've had a tremendous amount of community support with individuals and businesses reaching out saying, hey, if you need help, or if we need to, prepare isolation areas that are standalone, we can do that. And so we're ready. We're ready for any influx we get. You know, if you get sick and you're having a hard time, we will take care of you.
Again, Greg Cook, CEO of Castleview Hospital. Also along with him today, Dr. Travis Engar. And doctor, as Greg Cook was just talking about a few moments ago, the clinical process, this is where you come into play.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're to this point where we have this virus that can be so detrimental. But as Greg Cook's explained, we deal with this on a daily basis, just maybe not to the extent of the numbers we could get with this. And that's one of the biggest reasons I think people think there's a huge overreaction with businesses shutting down and restaurants and all that. The purpose in that, and I hope people understand this, is to decrease the curve, because we've seen from other countries in China and Japan and Italy that they didn't do much before, and the amount of illnesses just skyrocketed and took off fast. And what happens is it overwhelms the whole healthcare ability to take care of people that are very sick. And so I think the purpose in doing all this is to try to flatten that curve, to try to keep it so it's more manageable, so healthcare can help save more lives and help people in that way. Now, this virus can be detrimental for many people, but mostly it's more of a risk for people that have chronic disease, such as COPD or lung diseases or congestive heart failure. And elderly are more susceptible as well, as far as complications go. The majority of healthy people, if they do get it, they're going to be sick for, like influenza, they'll be sick for about a week. They'll have fever, body aches, and cough, and those are the typical symptoms you're going to get with that. And they'll recover without any treatment. You need to just make sure you get rest and fluids and Tylenol for your fevers. But you don't need to be seen by a physician if you have those symptoms. When you need to be seen by a physician is if you're starting to have complications. So if you have difficulty with breathing, that for sure is a situation where you should, you know, see a healthcare provider, be it the emergency department or your primary care. If you have any altered mental status, not thinking clearly, that type of thing, you have a family member that's not thinking clearly, you know, by all means, if you feel like you need to call the ambulance for that type of thing, then you do so. But otherwise, a fever is expected. I think sometimes people get panicked when they have a fever and they think they need to be seen for sure. Well, in this situation, that's an expected symptom. So cough and fever are to be expected if you do get it. And if you do get it, right now we're trying to test people. To see if they have coronavirus. There's only a limited amount of tests because they're just not being made to the point that we can, you know, do more than a few thousand a day in the whole state. But it's not necessary. Once we know it's in our community, it's not necessary to be tested nonetheless. If you have fever and cough and we know it's starting to show up in our community, then yes, you probably have it. And it's going to be 7 days. There's no cure. There's no antibiotics. Antibiotics don't kill viruses. You just need to rest and get fluids and keep yourself from other people. You know, stay away from other people and stay in your house. There's isolation and there's quarantine, and they both have a little different meaning. But mainly the main thing and main importance is you just stay away from others for that time that you're sick. And the CDC guidelines are that if you no longer have a fever, it needs to be at least 3 days or 72 hours of no more fever. And also decreasing symptoms, like no more cough, or not no more cough, but decreasing cough, and you're feeling fine. You're not feeling achy anymore and that type of thing. That's where then we know that, okay, you're over this and you don't have to be in isolation anymore and you can start going out and doing your thing. Now, you know, the one caveat there would be, you know, people need food and supplies and things. And so if there's a family member that can go get some, you know, food at the store, things like that, then you do that. But you maintain your social distance and don't get around people as much as possible and make it brief. So those are kind of the things to watch for and symptoms. But the best thing, of course, as always, is prevention. And the best way to prevent getting ill is to avoid contact with those that are ill. Try to wash your hands often and, you know, don't to keep 6 feet distance from others so you're not kind of breathing the same airspace with people that potentially could be ill.
I'm sure in your realm over the last couple of weeks, you've probably dealt with a lot of phone conversations, a lot of conversations, a lot of questions being asked. So I'll ask you, is there any misconceptions about the coronavirus that has popped up maybe with a reoccurring question that people have come to you with?
People think they say novel coronavirus, which means new. The coronavirus is not new. Coronavirus has been around longer than humans have been around. Coronavirus is a very common cause of a cold. It's just that this specific virus, as all viruses do, mutated. And that's what happens to all viruses. That's why influenza, for example, we have a different flu shot every year because the flu strains change. And you can have a real bad flu, too. I mean, there's a flu pandemic in 1918, and that was just a different flu strain. Well, this coronavirus is a different flu strain. We think it originated in China, in Wuhan, China, but it really doesn't matter where it originated. It's here. So that's one of the misconceptions, is that it's this new virus that we've never seen. It's just how viruses are. It is new, but it's a typical family of coronavirus. It's just a little bit more potent than the other ones, and so people can get more sick with it, especially those that have the illnesses we talked about. But other misconceptions are that it's going to affect the water, you know, in our cities and stuff like that. And I still don't understand the bottled water, you know, hoarding and all that type of thing, because all of our water systems will still be fine. This is not a virus that's going to affect that. You know, as far as people getting, buying up large amounts of food and things like that, I mean, that's probably, if you get sick, you should be at home for that 7 to 10 days that you're sick, and that's it, you know, and that's how long it lasts. It's not like you're going to be sick for a longer period than that. And it is true that there are going to be some people that are going to, you know, pass away because they have this virus. It's very infrequent that young, healthy people are going to have that happen. Of course, in the news is always going to put out that story that of the one 40-year-old that died of coronavirus or whatever, because that's what makes the news. They're not going to put out the story about the 999 that got over it and were just fine. You know, so that's one thing that I think I want, you know, make sure people realize the majority of people that get this are going to be just fine. They're going to have some body aches and a cough for a week and be over it. And the other thing is, they think 80% of these people are going to have mild illness, and some don't even have illness. And that's one of the problems with this virus and why it's so contagious, is that there are many people that can get this and they don't even have any symptoms. So you're walking around not thinking you're ill at all, and you're spreading it to others. And that's why it spreads so quickly, is because there's a lot of people that feel totally fine and they're spreading it to others, and they actually are shedding the virus at that time and don't even know it. So that's why all these, you know, precautions have been taken to try to self-isolate or, you know, maintain your distance from other people and that kind of stuff.
We'll end by jumping back over to Greg Cook, again, CEO of Castleview Hospital. And Greg, before I let you go, I know Castleview Hospital has done such a terrific job of really reaching out to the community. You guys are very active. You have a strong appearance. And so I guess lastly, is there anything that you would like to add? If anybody has any questions, if anybody has any concerns, I mean, I know you went over the hospital preparedness, but is there anything else you'd like to add?
A couple things. Number one, you know, the hospital will treat you if you need it. You know, just because we have visitor restrictions does not mean that we will not treat you if you need help. So please, please, if you're having chest pains or stroke symptoms, or you know, break your leg or cut off a finger, come to the emergency room. We will help you. Hospital is not going to close its doors. That's what we're there for. Secondly, the community has been amazing. Our employees have been amazing. We've got you know, kind of a shortage of personal protective equipment across the nation. All hospitals are struggling with that. Clinics are struggling with that. And we've got some really resourceful people that are coming up with solutions. And it's nice to see the community come together. I've had a couple of community members reach out to me and offer support in manufacturing isolation rooms and different things, or offering up space that they've got available should we need it. And the amount of community support we've received, county commissioners, you know, letting me know that they've got staff members that aren't working right now, and if we need anything as far as staff or a presence, they're available to help. So I'm very impressed with the community. It's one of the reasons that I love living here. Everybody comes together in times like this. The key is, you know, as Dr. Engar kind of mentioned, don't panic. We're fine. We've got our arms around this. If you do get sick, you're going to get better. It's nothing to worry about. But if you need help, we're here. And we really do appreciate the community support.
Greg Cook, Dr. Engar, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys taking out the time to come in and have a word with us. And hopefully we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. For more on this Castle Country Focus interview and others, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com.